Welcome to All Things Queer, your weekly queer news and culture show hosted this week by Harriet Kenny. Today she chats with co-founder and project and policy coordinator of the Youth Pride Network, Charlotte Glantz, and Grey Executive Officer Keddie Crystal jumps into the studio to chat about new research to assist with caring for elderly LGBTQIA plus folk living with dementia.
Now, local advocacy group Youth Pride Network are currently recruiting for new members to help them in their mission of working towards positive change for LGBTQIA plus communities. YPN's Charlotte Glantz joins us today. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi, Harriet. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for joining us. Now, I'm sure many people will know, but can you tell our listeners a little about where YPN came from and what your mission is?
Absolutely. So we started around 2018, coming off the back of the marriage equality campaign. We had seen such an incredible contribution from young people, and we wanted to make sure that there was a platform where young people could continue to advocate and about different issues after the end of that campaign. So we formed YPN. We've been going for around 3 years now. I kind of lose track a little bit. And we sit in the space of systemic advocacy, which means that we work to change the systems that young people interact with and make WA more inclusive, accepting and celebrating of LGBTQI plus young people.
Ah, that is wonderful. And so one major YPN project is your State of Play report looking at young people's experiences in the accommodation system. Now, of course, we can't go over all the details today, but could you highlight some of the major takeaways from that investigation?
Absolutely. So that was a report that included the voices of young people and workers in the system throughout WA. And it showed that LGBTQI plus young people still face significant barriers in accessing support for homelessness in a way that was really concerning to us. But the other thing it showed us was that it actually isn't that difficult to increase inclusion and acceptance and make services that were appropriate for LGBTQI plus young people. So that was a really fantastic report, quite, I think, a hopeful report. And we've been having some really fantastic discussions with service providers and with the government about how we can implement the recommendations of that report.
Yeah, that is great, especially when, you know, it is, and there's an open process to wanting to include everyone. And, you know, I definitely think it's an important thing to be supporting, especially when it comes to homelessness. We definitely don't want any of that happening.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so YPN has been working on some major advocacy campaigns, including opposition to the recent religious discrimination bill, which is now in limbo. What issues are young people looking to be prioritised as we approach a federal election?
I think there's so many things that young people are looking to be prioritised. I think it looks a little bit different at a state level and a federal level. I think at the federal level, we would like the government to stop actively making our lives worse is probably the first thing. Mm. But I think we're looking for more inclusion and more dedicated funding to LGBTQI plus initiatives. I know there was a really big push to put gender-affirming surgeries as part of Medicare at a federal level. We've been advocating for a while to make Centrelink more accessible for LGBTQI plus young people, particularly those who have to leave home. And so I think that we're looking to be taken seriously as an important group that the government, both in a state and federal level, have to care about.
And do you think there's a reason why we haven't been taken seriously? Like,
I think that it comes down to, it's a really good question. I think that maybe it comes down to the fact that we, for a long time, have, I guess people have treated us as saying, if we include you, then that's enough. And we're going to treat you just like everyone else, and I wouldn't treat anyone any different, which is great and definitely needed. But also, we do need specific things for our community, and we can't just blend into the background as well in government policy.
And do you think maybe that statement of we're going to treat everyone equally can sort of be a blanket for we're not really actually doing anything to assist or to actually make it so that it is an equal standing?
Definitely. definitely, I think that's a possibility. I think it's also a case of I don't want to recognize your individual needs and the individual culture that you bring. I think we're also at a political level, there's some really powerful groups that don't want us to have equal rights. And so there's that tension that's in play when we're talking about politics and political advocacy, particularly at a federal level.
Yeah, exactly. And do you have any advice for young people who may want to get involved in advocacy but have anxiety about taking that first step?
My first suggestion would be apply to be a part of the YPN Youth Committee. If you're looking for a first step, our applications are open now. We run an application process every year. On a local level, though, I think that getting you've got the backing of the community in whatever you do. I think I'd also say that find your allies, find people who support your cause, find people who particularly, for example, if you're at school, find a teacher who is supportive, who can help you, because finding the people who can help you navigate the system and know how the system works is really important for you to be able to advocate effectively.
And obviously with YPN being a youth group, how has it gotten? Because it's been a minute since I was in school and everything, but do you feel like it is better for LGBT youth to reach out to teachers and stuff like that? Like, has the process become easier and more welcoming?
I've been starting to have discussions with people about this. I also haven't been in school for about 7 years,
yep.
So I'm probably not the best person. But I think from what we hear from young people, in some cases it has. In some cases there's really fantastic policies, there's really great teachers, and there's zero tolerance approaches to bullying. In some cases, absolutely nothing has changed. So I think it's it's improving, but not at the same rate everywhere.
Yes, there's a big curve at the moment, isn't there, I think, when it comes to inclusion and support and everything like that. So where also can people get in touch if they do want to get involved?
So the best way to get in touch is to follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, and we're on TikTok. We also have a website, youthpridenetwork.net, and that has all of our resources, a contact list, and most importantly, a place to sign up to join our committee if you're interested.
Well, thank you so much for chatting with me today, Charlotte. It's been a pleasure, and I will definitely be following what YPN does next.
Thanks so much for having me on, Harriet. Thanks.
And so if you're passionate about any of the issues that Charlotte mentioned today or want to get your start in community advocacy and activism, head over to youthpridenetwork.net. Now, a guide to help aged care workers better meet the needs of people from LGBTIQ plus communities with dementia and to inform the wider community about this often overlooked demographic has been released by Dementia Support Australia and LGBTIQ plus Health Australia. Joining us to chat about the needs for more specific resources for LGBTIQA plus people as we age is Keddie Crystal, Executive Officer at GRAY, Gay Rights in Ageing. Hi, Keddie.
Hi, Harriet.
Alrighty, so GRAY formed in 2005 in response to people from LGBTIQA plus communities being concerned about how queer people were being treated in aged care facilities. What's the organisation's journey been over the 17 years since it has begun? God, 17 years!
Absolutely, a long time, and I've only just recently joined GRAY, but I know over that time it's done some amazing work. So one of the first things it did was in 2010, a piece of research with Curtin University, which surveyed over 40 aged care providers in WA around how many LGBTI people did they have in their services and how much staff training was occurring on this issue. And over 80% of the respondents said that they didn't have any of those people in their service, which is what the report ended up being called. We don't have any of those people here, which of course was totally inaccurate. But as older LGBTI people are very concerned, many of them have gone back into the closet. Some of them may have never actually come out of the closet, and they weren't disclosing to aged care providers their sexual orientation or gender diversity or intersex status. So Gray did a lot of work with other organisations to make changes to the Aged Care Act. So LGBTI older people are seen as a special needs group. And so we have been, since 2015, providing training to the aged care sector to help them, their staff, understand and be more respectful and be more inclusive of LGBTI people. And that's not to say people need to still come out. They still may remain in the closet because of past experiences of discrimination and abuse. But they need to know that the service that they go into, if they choose to come out, will be open and welcoming and respectful to them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that sounds like the most important thing, because especially, you know, some of these people would have marched and would have stood up for our community, and to think that now they have to go back into the closet is really
pretty
quite
sad.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Sad, yeah.
And so how does dementia affect people?
Well, so dementia in itself can affects people's cognitive capacity and their expression of their emotion. And so for an LGBTI person who may be starting to show some signs of dementia, it's very easy for service providers to put down changes in their behaviour to the dementia rather than actually taking that initial first step to see if something is actually going on in their environment that has re-traumatised them, re-triggered memories of abuse and discrimination in the past, and the changes in their behaviour are actually linked to that rather than any progression of their dementia. So there may have been someone in the retirement village that actually said something homophobic to them. Another resident or another new staff member may have said or done something to them that re-triggered past traumas. Mm-hmm. And so their behaviour might become more aggressive, or they might withdraw socially and not want to share and not want to engage with help and assistance because they have been re-traumatised. And so it's really important that aged care providers still continue down this journey of being inclusive and understanding the needs of older LGBTI people.
Mm. Yeah, because I suppose it maybe a little easy, especially when you are dealing with things like dementia, just be like, oh, it's the dementia, rather than to be like, oh, hang on, maybe I did something that upset this person.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, and it could have been a visit they had from a family member that they may not know about them. The family member may have said something to them or threatened in some way that, you know, they wanted them to not maybe continue to dress in the way that they might want to dress as a trans person. They might not want to use their correct name for the trans person. So a whole lot of things could happen that could result in changes of behaviour that are nothing to do with the dementia.
And so there's a new resource to support LGBTIQA plus people experiencing dementia. How does the care of members of our community differ from the rest of society?
So the care for our older LGBTI people when they go into an aged care facility, or they're getting care in the home even from aged care providers that come into the home, requires that the staff have some training in understanding of the particular needs and issues that are important to older LGBTI people. An understanding that they've grown up in an environment where who they was not respected, where who they was might have resulted in them having forced medical treatments, might have resulted in them being sacked from their work. They may have experienced direct physical violence from their family or society in general, so that they are not trusting necessarily of aged care providers or health providers generally. They may let their needs in terms of medical assistance and help go on for a long time and not seek help because they're fearful of how they're going to be treated.
Mm. Yeah, so I suppose it's always just about making sure that they do feel safe, really. And it's brilliant that Grey is there to be working on that. And so many aged care facilities are run by religious-based organisations. Is that a challenge for LGBTQIA+ people?
under the Aged Care Act, it shouldn't be a challenge because religious organisations cannot discriminate against older LGBTI people, so they can't say we're not going to accommodate you. It still remains a challenge for aged care staff who may be LGBTI, who may not may have their employment terminated by a religious organisation. They are not protected still. But also, it's really important for all organisations that run aged care services that they all undertake this training. It's free, it's funded by the federal government, and it requires them not only to train their frontline staff but also to look at their policies and practices, look at what signs they have on their wall, look at how their website looks. There's a whole range of things that they can do to send out messages of welcoming and respect to the older LGBTI community.
And have you found that Grey has been received well? I mean, you guys have been going for 17 years, so yes, you must have been able to build up these relationships with these providers and actually feel like you have made a difference.
Absolutely. When we deliver training, the staff, the frontline staff that come to our training, 99% of them are absolutely keen to learn more, to be engaged, to make a difference, and to be respectful. One of the issues is that there is quite a high turnover of staff in the aged care sector for a whole range of reasons that we probably know. So the training has to be ongoing, but it also has to be supported by knowledge and understanding from the top down as well, because the frontline staff person can only do so much. If the organisation's intake form and practices are not also aligned with being respectful and having more than one gender option, asking questions about sexual orientation, having a whole range of policies in place ahead of the time then when an older trans person comes in, ahead of the time when they actually need them.
Definitely. And so the pandemic has seen lots of people cut off from friends and family. Older Australians can really feel this isolation. Tell me about the Befriender program Grey operates.
So that's our lovely new funded program. We were funded late last year. So we, the federal government has funded 12 village hub programs across Australia, and we're the only LGBTI village hub program in Australia, of which we are extremely proud. And a component of that program is our befriending program. And this is a peer-to-peer connection and support program. So we have trained up at this point 10 older LGBTI people who are keen to volunteer their time. And we are linking them to older LGBTI people in the community who are at risk of isolation or have limited social connections and would like to have someone, a peer, come and visit them in their home for an hour or two each week.
Oh, that is so lovely. And, you know, it's definitely important to stay connected, especially with COVID and everything like that.
Yeah.
And so your organisation works closely with many different businesses and groups, provided much needing training. What do you think is the biggest misconception people have about our community?
Oh, I think one of the misconceptions that they have is that they don't know how diverse we are, and they have some idea that they can tell who might be a gay person or a lesbian or a trans person, but we're actually so diverse and it's incredibly hard to pick us sometimes. We're quite good at ourselves at picking each other, but there's a lovely quote we use in the training sometimes is that cisgendered and heteronormative people can't read LGBTI people, and so they often miss out. They don't realise that the 80-year-old woman who's come into their nursing home who has adult children and grandchildren is actually a lesbian. She might have had a heterosexual relationship at some point in her life, but she's now an out lesbian.
Yeah, and I mean, in this day and age, children does not necessarily mean...
absolutely not.
Yeah, it doesn't really make any difference in this world now, does it?
No, but particularly I think it's important to remember that a lot of older lesbians have had heterosexual marriages at some point before they came out, and so they will, and actually a lot of older gay men have had marriages. So having children visit you and grandchildren visit you does not necessarily mean you are not part of our community.
Exactly. And so how can people get involved with Grey?
Well, we have a free membership, and it's actually open to any LGBTI person of any age. You don't have to be a particular age. And the membership gets you our monthly newsletter. We have a lot of social events that we put on. And so if you have the newsletter, you can get involved in some of our social events. Next week, we're doing a consultation around the WA Seniors Strategy. And we'd be very keen for older LGBTI people and also pre-seniors. So that's 45 and upwards if you're First Nations, and 55 and upwards if you're a non-Indigenous LGBTI person.
That is great. Thank you so much for joining us, Katie Crystal. It has been such a good chat. And you can connect with Grey at grey.org.au, and the new resources to help in the care of people with dementia can also be found online at Dementia Support Australia.